All right, welcome to episode 99 of the Bobbycast with Danielle Bradbury. Hey, Danielle.
Hey.
I've never done one of these on a weekend or in the daytime.
Really?
So it's completely out of my natural element because we usually do these. I'm on the road every weekend.
Yeah.
And then we usually do these in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
People just come over to the house. But because of the great snowstorm of 2018,
yes,
we had to postpone this.
Yes.
And today it's summertime outside because it's like 50 degrees.
I know. These weather changes are driving me crazy.
Are you? But I lived in Texas for the past 14 years before I moved here. So winter to me is...
I'm from Texas,
any winter's painful.
Yes. Yeah. Even if it's like 50 degrees, I'm like, okay, this is cold.
Today was pretty... I went to yoga today, and I was in a sleeveless shirt, and I braved it because I'm so happy it wasn't 25 degrees.
You're like, let's
I was like,
see.
This feels great. Yeah. So
I'm
glad you came over.
I'm glad I'm here.
I got a lot to talk about.
Yes. Where to start?
You just came from Wisconsin. We were just talking about that before we went on.
Yes.
It was your first show back.
Yeah.
Where you're singing again.
Yeah, and I forgot how to sing and everything. I was a little rusty.
On the lyrics?
Yeah, on the lyrics.
So you did what's called a guitar pull, which I think is interesting because radio stations do these guitar pulls.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have you explain what a guitar pull is.
Okay. Example, last night I was the only girl, which I thought was cool. And you're on stage with about four or five other artists and y'all are all up there and y'all get to talk about stories, go back and forth, and then y'all each sing one song and then y'all go around and, you sing to five or six songs each. And I those are my favorite personally because you just get to hang out with everybody and kind of sit back after one song instead of going song after another and just kind of listen to them, and you hear songs that you haven't heard before from other artists, and I think it's really cool.
Who was on with you last night?
Walker McGuire, Luke Combs, Jordan Davis, and Morgan Wallen. They were all really great.
That Luke.
He's like
you. It's unsuspected greatness.
Oh, I know.
And I was talking with Dan from Dan and Shay a couple days ago, and with those guys... Mm-hmm. You know if someone has a deal, they're going to be at least certain good.
Yeah.
Because you really don't get signed if you're terrible. So there's this expectation, but then there are certain people that even though you know they're good, they come in and they still blow you away. And I put Dan and Shay into that category, and I put you into the category because even though we know you're good, when you guys start singing, you're like, oh, yeah, it's the best. Luke Combs is on there, too, because when he starts singing, it's violent.
Oh, my God. It's in your face.
Sunday morning! You recoil because it's so hard. It's just boom!
Oh, yeah. Well, what's funny is because when you're up there, all the artists are in front, obviously, and then you have either your guitar player, your drummer, which is on a cajon, and I have
which is a little box.
That yes. And I have my guitar player and my drummer back there. And I think I did one of those things with Luke, the same area, before the new year. And my drummer was in front of his wedge, which is the big speaker. He said, he is amazing, but he blew me out of my chair.
He's so loud and goes from 0 to 60 faster than...
0 to 60, yes.
Where you are a pure singer and one of the best, but you go like an airplane taking off. And when you hit the speed, you're nailing it. Luke is like a freaking Ferrari. Wow, it scared us in the studio last time he sang.
Oh, I bet in there it was probably...
Because he had Amy, my co-host, he goes, Amy. And I've known Luke for a long time.
Yeah.
He goes, Amy, count me down. And Amy goes, one, two... One, two, Sunday! And
oh my God.
It scared the crap out of all of us.
Oh my God.
When you do one of those where you're sitting around with those people, does it matter to you what order you go in?
Not really. I just turn around to my players and be like, what are y'all feeling? And I kind of think about my single and where that goes. And sometimes I go off of who the artist before me sang or if it was a slow song, upbeat. So I go off of those things, but not necessarily each song or anything. But
where do you put the single in the mix?
I do it right in the middle. Last night, I think we did five, and I did it the third song in. So
what do you start with when you're doing a show like that? What did you start with last night?
I started with Can't Stay Mad.
Okay.
So. And it's like more of an upbeat song. So
what'd you close with?
I close with Worth It.
Yeah, that one's a big one.
Cause I'm worth it.
Yeah, you sang this on our show too. You killed this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I hear this one on satellite too. As we're playing Sway, they're playing Worth It, which is a cool thing. Now you can get multiple songs played at different times.
Yeah, it's been really cool to see. I mean, fans post that and then obviously hear it sometimes. It's been crazy.
Yeah, that's a good one. This is a good one too. Sway to the left and sway. This was the first one when you came back, right?
Yeah.
This is the first song when you were like, hey, here I come again.
Yes, Sway was the hello, I'm back.
What was the conversation that led to this song being the first song?
Well, it's kind of funny because Sway was actually wasn't going to be the first single. It was going to be the first lead track of the new album, and that's what which is a difference,
right?
And that's what we did. We released it and was like, new first track off of the new record. Can't wait to show y'all more and all that stuff. Well, one day, I think it was during the CMA Fest, I got thrown in a meeting right after the celebrity softball game that I think we played together. And it was with the label and everybody you can think of. I was like, okay, I'm all sweaty. Sorry, guys.
Oh, you literally went from the softball game over to the label.
Okay. Yes. And we talked about, radio tour again and Sway being the new single. And it was just kind of like bam, bam, bam. And I think they had already talked about it, kind of made that decision and saw it doing really well, better than we expected as not even a single. So, they were like, yeah, Sway's the new single.
How did you feel about that? Did you have your heart set on something else to start as the first single?
I honestly did. Yeah. Worth It has been my favorite always. And I think I picked that when I was putting the album together. And Worth It kind of stuck with me always. And there's other songs on there that are my favorites too. But Sway was, and the more I thought about it, Sway was kind of the easygoing, just kind of, I guess, nice song to start out the new album, since everybody hasn't heard anything from me in about 4 or 5 years.
Which is interesting to me, because as I was coming into the format and moving to Nashville, that was kind of the last that you and I saw of each other. Then you disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't go around town. I don't ever go out. But still, you see people at industry events. But you disappeared.
I disappeared.
You disappeared. You were gone.
Yeah.
Which was a cool thing to do, but I start thinking that's got to be tough when you're right in the middle of it, and mm-hmm. then you consciously go, I'm getting out of it.
Yeah, it is tough.
It's like witness relocation.
Yeah.
So what was the mindset behind that?
You know, I think a big part of the break was coming off of The Voice and being so young, and I feel like a broken record, but it is so true. I was very young, and personally, I did not know what the heck was going on. I couldn't tell you anything about the music business. I still couldn't tell you half of it, but I mean, then I had my mom going around with me all the time because I was so young, and after the show, I got this record put together, and I had to pick 12 songs, and I didn't write at all. I couldn't tell you how to do that even back then. And I was just listening to these songs in the hotel room of wherever I was. I was kind of getting frustrated because I didn't like some songs, and I liked more ones more than other, but I mean, it was just a mess. And finally, I picked 12, and we came out with my debut album. And so, and then after that, it was like, bam, 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 everything happened all at once. And so I never really got that moment of, okay, this is Danielle Bradbury, and this is what I want to sing, and I'm a songwriter and all that. I didn't have that yet. And it was very much blonde girl, The Voice, country, blonde girl. And that's what everybody kind of looked at me as. And a lot of them said, oh, another Voice winner. And I was like, you know, there's more to me than that. I think. And so the break was very much like, okay, I need to really sit down for a second off of this crazy ride that I've been on and really figure out who is Danielle Bradbury and if I am a songwriter or not. So I got into that.
Where'd you go?
I was here in Nashville.
Maybe once or twice did I ever see you.
Yeah.
Did you purposely not go to things?
You know, some of them I wanted to go, but there wasn't really a purpose for me to because I didn't have any music out or anything. But I was just at home. I wasn't doing anything. But, I mean, I was.
You want to go even just sing and keep the instrument sharp?
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't. Like, that had to be so frustrating.
It was very frustrating, I won't lie. I was going into my management's office almost every week. And, you know, we were talking about the goal and what we needed to do. I was writing a lot. And that's a big thing that I got into in that break. And that's what I did most of the time. And I co-wrote a lot. I haven't written by myself yet, but hopefully I'll get there. And, yeah, it was just writing and then meetings just all the time because we were just trying to figure out. And then we would do photo shoots. And then 3 months later, something would change. And then we would want to do another photo shoot. And just, like, I was continuing to just grow. And then I'd get songs and we'd release, like, songs like Friend Zone. And I would write so much, I mean, more songs.
I thought that Friend Zone song was really good, by the way. I thought it was really funky.
It was different.
It was. But now that you say, I don't even have that clip. Oh, I do have it up, don't I, Mike? How about that? I know this. I don't even know what you guys tried to do with this, but I liked it. And it started off.
Oh, my God.
Why do you look at this guy when this song plays?
It was so random.
Yeah? Isn't that the beauty of it, though?
Yeah.
Do you ever play this live?
Every now and then. I used to play it a lot in my full band shows. But that song, it was kind of like, since I haven't put anything out, we were like, let's just put something out. Like, we need something. I don't want my fans to get so just crazy and annoyed. Because they were. And I was like, I don't blame y'all.
Did you go into hiding on... did you go into on social media hiding?
No.
So because he stayed active?
Yeah. Yeah, and I did. Me and my management kind of had this idea of putting out cover videos, just to keep. I mean, again, the fans entertained, and I wanted them to know, like, I'm still here, but I'm working on some things, and I'll put out some stuff for y'all to listen to in the meantime. So I did these cover videos for a while, and then we released Friend Zone in this really fun video with Friend Zone. And then I took another break.
How long was that break?
It was like, I don't know, probably another year.
Yeah.
But I mean, underneath all of that, I was writing songs that I had got for this new album that I released. So Sway, I had written like 2 years ago from when I released the album. So I had these songs, and we knew that we were getting ready to do either an EP or album. Like, we were ready for anything. And again, I was frustrated, so I was like, God, I want to get out there again.
Did they have to tell you to chill out a bunch of times?
Like, Danielle, no. Relax. No, it was more, I wouldn't get mad or anything. It was more of just, I would text my management or my day-to-day manager in the middle of the night or something and be like, okay, so, like, what's next? Do y'all know anything? I don't. Like, is there anything new? It was just questions all the time.
I had brunch. My eating schedule is different than the normal human. Since I wake up at 3 in the morning, my...
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, to do that show?
Jeez.
I have to wake up at 3 to go on at 5 because that's 6 Eastern. We start 6 Eastern because we're in Boston, D.C. But, so, I was doing something with Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing this video thing for Thomas, and it wasn't iHeart, it was Thomas. He said, hey, would you mind filming this with me? I said, sure. So I met with Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, wait till you hear Danielle's music. I was like, whatever, you know. This is before Sway. Yeah. This is before all of it. She's like, no. She's been locked away. And she's been riding, and you're gonna I was like, okay, I get it. You're positioning your artist, don't do this, but I told her probably 6 months later, I was like, you're right. Like, it's really good. It was really good. And so, was she the one that was telling you and controlling your emotions? Like, relax.
She was one of them. And I'm very lucky to have my management's like kind of like an all-girl team, and it's Virginia, my day-to-day Samantha, and my digital girl, Nicole. And I went to all three of them, probably the same amount. And you know, Virginia would text me or call me every now and then to update me on whatever she had been dealing with everything. And then Samantha would call me, and then Nicole's like, I think we should do this piece on Instagram. And, you know, the cover videos she was a big part of, and they are always working. So Virginia definitely called me and tried to be like, you know, we're almost there.
She never even teed me up with Thomas stuff ever in the history of
really
ever with TR ever. But she teed me up on, she was like, it's coming, and I don't do this, but I'm just telling you, it's going to be, I was like, okay, I roll my eyes. Okay, we'll see.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, I like Danielle, she's really nice, but but she's like, no, trust me. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, because I know you get that all the time.
So much so that she never does it.
Okay.
Nobody really does it to me anymore.
Yeah.
If they have worked with me in the past, because I just don't listen to things early.
Yeah.
Everyone has something that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, you just wait.
Just wait.
But it was the only time she had ever said, just wait.
Yeah.
And so.
That's cool.
Yeah. She was fighting for you early. Let me talk about Blue Apron for 1 second. So for 8 weeks, Blue Apron is teaming with Whole30. This ends on February 26th. To bring you delicious recipes, the menu will feature two Whole30 approved recipes each week, like Mexican spiced barramundi with avocado. Blue Apron's awesome because as we do this podcast from my house, they do deliver right to my house. That's why it's so convenient. They deliver fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, step-by-step recipes right to your door. There's a card that tells you how to do it. These things can be cooked under 45 minutes. Super flexible. Pick 2, 3, 4 recipes. High quality. You can look on the list here. Here's some upcoming meals. Spicy pork and Korean rice cakes with baby bok choy. Vegetable fried rice with Tagarashi peanuts. Or Whole30 approved chicken and kale orange salad with spicy tahini dressing. Or Whole30 approved seared steaks and warm lemon salsa verde with roasted broccoli and sweet potatoes. You can even be like me and not know how to cook one bit, and Blue Apron will make you look like a chef. It's really good. Blue Apron is treating listeners now. Just go to blueapron.com/Bobby. $30 off your first order. blueapron.com/Bobby. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. Okay, so let's talk about your mom.
My mom.
So she was a hairdresser, hairstylist.
She was, yeah.
So does that mean when you go home, does she ever go, let me do your hair?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, literally this last Christmas and New Year's, I was home for Christmas and New Year's, which was so nice. And where that is like a little bit outside of Houston.
Which town?
Cypress.
Yep.
And so, yeah, all my family's still there. And my mom, she still cuts, I mean, my brother's hair, my stepdad. And when me and my sister come in town, she's like, come here. Like, let me fix this. And when I went back home, I went to go get my hair colored. And she was like, okay, I'm gonna do something because this is not right. She always, and then I thought about cutting my hair short the other night. And I was like, Mom, I have to get approval from you because I'll feel bad if I just do it without your approval. She's like, but you're going to regret it. And I'm like, God, you make me feel bad. So she definitely takes control.
Is she good?
She's very good.
Still, and like, you trust her with your hair.
I really do. She does really good, and I don't even have to pay her anything.
Do you have a stylist here in town?
I do.
Do you have to like tell your mom, this is who it is?
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
it makes her feel better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then she'll see pictures, and she's like, okay, it's time to get your hair done. I'm like, well, thanks.
Oh, so she'll critique your hair through Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like, okay, saw this picture. It's kind of looking weird, like the color or the cut. And so, but she's awesome. And I'm not biased. She's really great at
what she
does.
Well, you are biased, but she can still be great.
Yes, yes.
What does she call you?
Like.
Does she call you Danielle?
Yeah.
She does?
Yeah.
It's a lot of syllables for a mom and a daughter.
Let me think.
Did she ever call you?
Let me see. She's like, oh God.
Do an impression of her if she calls you. The phone rings. Here's your mom. Go ahead.
She's like, hi. She I don't know. God, I do it so good without pressure. No, but she calls me boo.
Yeah.
And she tries to be funny because I have a 14-year-old brother and he's in the stage of the bae. And so she's like, you're my little bae. I'm like, Mom, don't do that.
Does your brother think you're cool?
I hope so. I think he's cool.
Does he tell you that you're... Is it cool that you're his older sister to his 14-year-old friends?
You know what? He actually doesn't go around saying anything. He prefers not to say anything.
But they have to know, right?
They do. They do. But he doesn't really, like, have full conversations about it to his friends. He's in football and all that stuff. And he just... And I've asked him before. I said, does it get annoying? How do you feel about it? He's like, no, but I don't like when girls know you, because I want to get the girls myself. I was like, I get that.
Man, I wish I would have had an older sister that had a little bit of fame, because then I could have got girls when I was 14.
Oh my God.
Must be pretty popular then, if that's a setback to him.
Yeah, he's pretty well known.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude. He's 14 and he's 6'3".
Wow. He's bigger than I am.
Size 13 shoe. He's a big dude.
Wow. You're tiny.
I know. My stepdad, he's my half brother. And so my stepdad is 6'3" himself. He was in football, baseball, all the things. And so my brother is in football, and he's a big guy. So when I go home and hang out with him, I feel like I'm hanging out with somebody my age. And we love rap music. And so he listens to him. He shows me all these new rap music that he's found. And he's like, Danielle, when's the next time you're coming home? Because he loves to drive around in the car and listen to music. So I love that.
I think... In boxing, they have something that they say, you know, pound for pound fighters. You familiar with the term?
Yeah.
Regardless of how small or big you are, obviously the 4'9" guy is not going to beat up the 7-foot guy.
Yeah.
But they go, who's the best pound? And I was thinking about this before you came over. I mean, I think you're up there with the Stapletons. It's this little group of the 1% of the 1% vocalists. It's you. Chris Stapleton, it's Lauren, Elena,
mm-hmm.
all of those guys are the pound for pound, like, the best singers. And what's surprising about you, you're so small. Did you have any crazy vocal training? Did that big voice always live in you at age 11?
I feel like I've always had a big voice, but that's not saying like, oh, I can hit all these notes. But when I was little, my mom always says, and my dad, they're like, every time we'd take you in a restaurant, you'd scream. And that's how we knew you could just wail. And I'm like, oh, God. But I don't know.
When did you start singing? And it was, well, I'm actually pretty good at this. Because I'm sure you sang forever. Everybody sang at 4 or 5 years old, but we weren't all good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not good. But when did you start singing and you thought, okay, I'm actually better than people around me?
You know, I've never been the type to be like, okay, yeah, I'm good.
But you can tell by people's reaction even.
Let's say
even it's not in yours, but you're looking at people and Jimmy Smith sings and they're like, but you sing and they're like, oh my God. When did that start happening?
Because I did the whole singing in my room thing for a long time before the show, and that's what I preferred because I was very shy. And I could go on forever about that because I was probably the shyest person you'll ever meet. It was a struggle.
To do what?
To sing.
And really?
Yeah. I remember like family events. I couldn't even sing in front of my family to save my life.
Isn't it harder though to sing? Because I'll relate this to doing comedy. I would never want to tell jokes in front of 5 people, but I can do it in front of 2,000, no problem.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I feel that way too.
Like you don't want to. It's weird to sing in front of 4 people, but. Put 400 in there.
Yeah, and I'm fine.
Because it's not that one-on-one pressure. You're just singing to a bunch of heads.
Yes.
So did it get easier as the crowds got bigger then?
A little bit, honestly. And that's weird how that is. But it got so bad that I'd have to either go under a table, turn my back in a corner.
To family.
Like, to family or friends.
Yeah.
My friends would ask me to sing a lot. I'm like, no, y'all are too close. Y'all need to be out there and lights on y'all, like lights on me so I can't see y'all. But
that's what police do to criminals.
I know.
They put the light right in their face so they can't see anything around them.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but oh gosh, I don't know.
Then why in the world would you go sing on a TV show?
It's my mother. She signed me up without me knowing.
And but again, you have to go do it.
I know. And it was a struggle, which not many people know. Because I, so she said, I want you to, like, I print out their certificate, and that's easy. Anybody could go online, and it's thevoice.com, and you can print out your little certificate, and that's what you take to the audition. And she did that, and I was like, wait. And I got mad at her because it was that fear, that those butterflies and everything, and nerves. So I was like, no, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. And I've always watched The Voice. Like, I've always been a big fan of Blake Shelton and everybody on there. And she was like, we're going to drive to Dallas. And it's like about 4 hours from where we were. And I was like, I think I cried.
This is the longest drive, the longest 4 hours.
It was the longest 4 hours of my life.
And you go through the cycle 20 times. Okay, I'll do it. No, I don't want to do it.
Yes. Yeah. And I went through that in the middle of auditions because there's three auditions before the TV LA part. And which I didn't know. And I was just learning everything step by step. And so we get to Dallas, and it's so early in the morning. And there we go to this big convention center, and the line is, like, wrapped around the building. And I think there was 6,000 people there. And you get in these rooms, and it's, like, 10 people per room. And there's, like, 5 chairs, a little piece of tape. So intimidating.
Are people singing all the time, though, around you, like warming up all the time, all the time, all the time?
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a big...
Is that intimidating?
Not really, because for me, through that whole process, I was like, sing, sing, because I wanted to hear people, but then when they would ask me, I'm like, no, I'm fine. It was so weird. And so it was really cool hearing everybody, and it didn't really like affect me in any way.
You weren't competing at that point.
Yes. And I never thought to compete. I always, it was so crazy because when I did make it to LA, and we were all sitting in a room and the Voice producers were come in and talk to us, it was, and I remember one of the producers saying, I want everybody to look in this room because the winner is sitting in this room right now. And I was like looking around, and I've already heard half of those people sing, and I was in my head, I was picking who I thought was going to win. I was like, what? I'm on this show. Come on, Danielle. Be a little bit more competitive. But I wasn't. I never was. It was crazy.
Even throughout the show?
Even throughout the show. I just went on stage, sang, and I supported my friends. I was like, oh my gosh, she's going home. I don't want her to. It was that. And I don't know why.
How about the butterflies? Did they go? Did they subside as the show was going?
A little bit.
Is it because it was so busy or because you were getting more acclimated to it?
I think it was because it was so busy. I think we were such on a schedule, and I, for me, it was, I learned the song or however many songs I did. I went out there and I would forget that song so I could know the next one. It was like a weird, process. I had to like teach my mind. It was weird. So I don't know. It was just busy, I think.
You have your hand up. You have three dots on your finger. Is that a tattoo or a pin?
It's a tattoo.
It is a tattoo? What are the three dots?
Funny story, actually.
New or old tattoo?
It's a little bit old.
Okay.
I didn't know what it meant when I got it, which is I not recommended.
I also wouldn't recommend that, but continue.
But I was in L.A., and I was with my boyfriend, and we were like, it's 11 o'clock at night and we feel like getting tattoos. So we did. And we went, I think we were on Venice Beach, and it was the only tattoo parlor open on the whole thing. Fun fact about this tattoo parlor, they did the tiger of Conor McGregor.
Oh yeah.
Which is so cool to me. I love Conor McGregor.
On his stomach.
On his stomach. Yeah. And so we were like amazed by this.
Why
tattoo
do you love part. Conor McGregor? I want to come back to Conor McGregor when you finish this. That's a really random thing. But continue on with the tattoo story. Go ahead.
Okay. But I actually saw Adam Levine's wife have this on her finger. She was like holding up a glass of wine on Instagram or something. I thought it was so cute. It's like almost like jewelry to me. And I was like, if it's on her, it's nothing bad. I'm just, that's dumb.
Do you know her to think that? Or just through Instagram?
I've met her a couple of times.
Was he on The Voice?
On The Voice,
early?
Okay. Yes. And I got it. And when I went in there, they were laughing at me. I was like, come on, just do it. And so they did. And I looked it up, and it's nothing bad. It means one with the earth, which is pretty cool. But it honestly sounds like kind of like a stoner thing. So I'm like, whatever.
I would think hippie more than stoner.
Yeah, okay. I've gotten the stoner thing, but
But it can really mean whatever you want it. It's three dots.
That's what everybody says. Yes.
It could be your brother, mom, and stepdad.
Yeah.
It could be your guitar, drum, and vocal. It really, you can make up any story you want about those three dots.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had like a solid thing yet because I don't want to say one with the earth all the time. Because that sounds so weird.
You can create your own narrative.
I will.
And just stick to it because people are going to ask more and more.
Oh, yeah. People ask all the time. I have two other tattoos, but this is the one they ask
the
about.
The one you can see.
Yes.
So, Conor McGregor. Random. So, do you like MMA?
Okay. I love, like, a lot of things other people are like, wait, really? Like, the rap music. They just look at me and be like, I don't see you. I'm like, yeah, that's, like, all that's on my phone. But I love sports, and then watching those, I love like boxing and everything. Every now and then I'll get into boxing or whatever, and that's not boxing, but fighting. It's interesting to me.
And why him?
Cause he's so confident and I lack on confidence. So I just like look
You're
up
to
that.
That.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And he's just so cool.
Have you boxed?
I have, yeah.
I box.
I see your Instagram and everything.
It's pretty wild, huh?
I love
it. It's tough.
I love it. But I want to get into it, for sure.
What have you done? Go to classes, punch the bag?
Classes. It was nice because Thomas Schrett's trainer, his name's Larry, he does title boxing here, mm-hmm. but on the road, I got to like jump in on their sessions and everything.
Oh, that's cool. I know Larry because Larry works out at the gym that I work at.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Do you know Wilson, FGL's guy?
I've met him a couple of times.
He works out of there too. He's huge.
He's huge.
He runs. He's huge, right? He's huge and the nicest guy.
Yeah.
But you would never want to cross him.
No.
And he runs and it looks like one of those old Baywatch shows where the Pamela Anderson is running in slow motion.
Yeah.
His pecs are so big. Oh, when he gets on the trail, it's like, boom, boom. I'm like, man, I would never. He's barrel.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's a big dude. I would see him walking around. I'm like, who is that? Before I, like, met him.
Do you have security when you go to, do you have your own one person that travels with you instead of having different people at different places?
Not yet. But I want one. I kind of want something like how Thomas Rhett has. Because Larry is like half bodyguard, half trainer. And I'll want somebody like that.
Yeah. So I have one.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is a trust.
Oh, yeah.
To have. They always have. And my guy's ex-DEA agent. He's probably 53, 54 years old.
Oh, that's cool.
And he took over drug boats in
that's
South
interesting.
America. So not only do I trust him and he's always watching, but he can kill somebody and hide a body if he needs to. If we need to, I'm just throwing that out. You know,
that's cool.
And he can do like people. He'll background check somebody. I got a problem with this. Because I've had stalker issues and I've been attacked. And I'm sure you.
You're scares.
Yeah,
yeah
there's just too many weirdos out there.
There is.
It's a numbers game, and you have so many fans. And I guess I realized it the first time you came into our show. Because you came in, and I remember you coming in, and you crushed Sway, and we saw it go, doom. It was way, way early. It went number two on iTunes.
It did go to number two.
It was this really big moment, but it was just like the floodgates of Daniel Bradbury fans had descended upon my Twitter, and I was like, what is happening here?
Oh, yeah. Like, I tell my management all the time, I'm like, I guarantee you they have their own little underground secret office with their like whiteboard. They're like, so this week we're gonna do hashtag this and this.
They're
and
passionate,
this.
Man. They're good.
They are good.
They're not even mean.
It.
And some fan groups are really rude.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you just see the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
But most fan groups, as a whole, even as even in country music, the vocal minority is what gets heard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the angriest, most minority part of music. With fan groups, the angry minorities give everybody else a bad rap.
Yeah.
You didn't have any mean ones.
No.
And maybe because we weren't fighting. I don't know. But we had, everybody was actually really kind.
No, they like work together. They're all friends. And they're really nice.
Where do they come from? Do they come from The Voice, the record? Where do they start to see you?
It was The Voice.
Yeah.
And which is crazy. Even with my long break that I took, it was crazy to see that one Voice fan group just continue to support me till this day. And it's cool because I've seen them kind of grow up too. And they feel that way about me, which is awesome. But they never left. And I remember a lot of them, and I didn't see one leave. It was really cool because they stuck. It was from The Voice, for sure.
For me, I don't know you from The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know you from The Voice.
Yeah.
Which I think is a cool thing for me to know you as an artist. And not,
I think so, too.
And not as the person who won the TV show. I didn't know Cassidy from The Voice.
Yeah.
Like, I got here into Nashville in this format because I came from pop and hip-hop. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's I was like, I want to go do country. It's the easiest format. I've never fit in anywhere because I've always been too country on the hip-hop station, too rock on the sports station, mm-hmm. too pop in the country. But I've never fit. And so when I got here, I just didn't know you guys from The Voice. And I think it's been cooler for me to not.
I think that's cool because a lot of people do. And it's rare when they're like, so I honestly didn't know, like, you were on The Voice, and I just heard you sing for the first time. I'm like, that's cool. Like, that's genuine.
I'm super cool. I'm the coolest then. I'm way cool because I never watched The Voice.
Yeah, it's hard. I can't even keep up with it now.
I bet you get – I really wasn't even going to go to The Voice. But I bet, because I'm sure you got to get tired of talking about the stupid voice. And I'm not that the voice is stupid, but I would feel like, oh my God, let me move on with my life.
Yeah,
although
for
it is an important part of your story.
Yeah.
It's not the most important part of the story.
Yeah. Because I want to get somewhere where, like, you're known as Danielle Bradbury. And
I think Clarkson has done a great job at it. And it's taken a while.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what hits will do for you.
Yeah.
Kelly's done a great job, but she's not. She was on American Idol. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not Kelly Clarkson from American Idol.
Yeah.
Oh, who else has done that? Where?
Carrie Underwood.
Oh, Carrie for sure.
Yeah.
I don't even think. And I watched Idol with Carrie on it, and I don't even
I
think.
Do too.
Carrie and Bo Bice, I think, were the same year.
Yeah.
And Bo finished second. And I remember that vividly. I don't even think of Carrie as being on Idol.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think you have an advantage over a lot of people that come off shows because you did it so young. You have mm-hmm. that time to separate from it and mm-hmm. still be young and cool.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, you could be Chris Daughtry. He's like 50. You know, he's
Idol. I loved him.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He went on. I loved him. And then I met him and it wasn't a good experience. But I loved him on the show.
Yeah.
I thought he was a rocker.
Mm-hmm.
Do you even remember Bo Bice? The long hair.
Hardly.
Yeah, I remember the finals. He got up and sang a cappella.
Oh, wow.
Against Carrie in the finals. Yeah, it's pretty moving because I remember it vividly. It was good. Yeah, yeah. Your first concert was a Billy Gowen concert?
Yeah.
I love this song.
That's my jam.
Yeah, I love this song.
Not even.
Down here on earth.
You guys kind of had the same tone.
No, I'm not kidding. When I was younger, I would sing to this record. And I was so impressed with myself. I was like, Mom, we like have the same voice.
Yeah. He was on the school bus in the music video.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I called Billy. I don't know him, but I think he lives in Boston or something now.
I don't know.
But I called him in the last year or so, and I haven't heard anything else he's done since. But I love that song so much. So when I had his phone number, I was like, I got to call him. I just got to call Billy Gilman.
Yeah.
Look at that. Where was the show? Where'd you go see Billy Gilman?
Houston Rodeo. Houston Rodeo is my jam. Yeah.
Because they have so many acts.
Yes.
Like, it'd be Master P, and then it'd be Billy Gilman.
Oh, yeah.
Ludacris. Mm-hmm. Carrie.
Oh, yeah. And I remember going and seeing Luke Bryan, Brad Paisley, Jason Aldean before anything. And
And Billy Gilman. Don't forget Billy Gilman.
Billy Gilman was the first one.
So, next time you come into the radio show, you need to sing one voice from Billy Gilman.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I didn't really think about that.
Don't sing it anywhere else because this is. Yeah. I like this idea.
Okay.
And you have to work it out right now. We'll have you whenever you want. You can come back. But
okay.
That's it.
One
that's
voice.
That's the song you're going to do.
Okay. I love that song.
Yeah, me too. I'm not even ashamed of it.
I have no shame. And some people look at me weird when they're like, that's your first concert. I'm like, hell yeah, it was. I was
you're also
young.
A kid.
I was a kid and he was like the heartthrob. And I was
well,
like,
to kids.
To kids.
Yeah,
yes.
He wasn't the heartthrob. I'm a bit older. He wasn't the heartthrob. He was the kid that was singing.
He was a kid heartthrob for younger kids.
Yes.
And I was that younger kid. And so I remember being out in the aisle of the concert and the big, like, TV screens. He, like, looked and he didn't look over at us. I was like, Mom, he looked at me. And I was like, no, he didn't. But I was freaking out. It was so fun.
What are you listening to now? You know this one?
Yeah.
Do you, are you into, I mean, you can call this whatever you want to call it, but are you into the new hip hop?
It, some of them, for me, it has to have like a really good beat.
Well, that's not what this is.
No.
Because they, what they do is, I mean, they use the 808, but then they slow it and chop it. And
yeah.
It's, it. And they mumble.
They mumble. The mumbling gets under my skin.
So who do you like then?
I do love Post Malone a lot.
He's so gross looking though. I can't picture anything but how like dirty he is. Half his teeth are gold, half are like turd.
And his like his whatever tattoo on his forehead. I don't know.
It's all just so gross that I think, man, how could someone make out with him?
I don't know. He probably...
Oh, I'm sure he gets there.
But I've watched interviews on him, and he's like the sweetest, funniest guy.
And it's also like, hip-hop sucks, all this sucks, I'm my own
he
format.
He loves country, too.
He's, yes. What he does, I admire, because I also think genres are garbage. I say that a lot. Because everybody's influenced by everything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If you were born, if you started to consume music in the mid to late 90s up until now, you took in everything.
Yeah.
And every format's influenced by every format. So I'm just like, genres for the sake of genres are just garbage. I understand why they have to be split up a bit, but I have the biggest country radio show in the history of the world. Probably 36% of my music. Not even that much is country.
Yeah.
And even then, like the Lanco album, fantastic. It just came out the other day. Love it. It sounds like Imagine Dragons, Coldplay meets
that's
the
cool.
country. Right. But that's now what quote unquote country is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being fiddles, it's more of how do you tell a story?
Yeah.
More, it's not so much the texture of the sound, but the delivery of the message.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the difference. But my difference doesn't matter. There's no right answer.
Mm-hmm.
To me, and people fight about what does this kind of music mean? Oh, that's not country. And anyone who says that, I automatically just think they're dumb. Like, I think they can't see over a level of...
I agree. I agree.
And it makes some of the genre traditionalists hate my guts. And I'm okay with that, which is why I don't go out a lot. I don't want to get beat up.
Which is fine. Oh, my gosh.
It's fine. And the silent majority agree.
Yeah.
No one just has a format on their phone.
No. Heck no.
That's it.
I mean, I'm walking the CMA red carpet, and they're like, so what are you listening to? They expect me to be like, oh, Jason Aldean's new song. I'm like, no, I got some thug music on my phone. And they're like, okay. I'm like, I mean, I'm telling you the truth. And then every now and then, sometimes I drive to Texas for like holidays. I love driving. I don't know why. And it's a long drive, but I'll put it on shuffle and it'll be, I mean, a thug Lil Wayne song. And then the next song will be Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood.
But that's normal.
But it's
that's
normal.
That's not even crazy. That's
no.
absolutely normal.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, and that's the fight I'm in all the time.
And, I mean.
And I bet you hear that from people too. Like, oh, you're not country.
Oh, all the
Shut
time.
Shut up.
All the time.
How are you going to tell me what my art is? Art is not even supposed to be defined.
No.
And you're gonna tell me. I'm doing a question at you right now. You're gonna tell me.
I know.
Yeah.
I want you to be alive.
Oh yeah.
That's a good one, right?
Logic. I want you to be alive.
Super smart dude.
Oh, have you seen the interview on him?
Yes.
His hands are going everywhere.
He looks the super smart part.
Oh yeah.
He talked
It's awesome.
I thought it was brilliant when this song the phone number for the suicide hotline is the title of the song. They never say it, but it's the title of the song, so it's what you see. That's like second level thinking.
I know. When that came out, I was like, I bet you this phone number actually works, and it is a line. And sure enough, it came out, and I was like, that is genius.
Genius.
And just seeing all the numbers and everything that helped is amazing.
You know the entire menu at... Not Whataburger. Is it at what's the burger place in California? Don't tell me. Because I have been like 80 times, and everyone's like, it's the best, and it's good. Hold on. Don't give it to me.
Okay.
I'm going to sit here and struggle with it a bit.
Okay.
Wait, it is Whataburger, because you're from Texas. It's got to be Whataburger. Do you have the Whataburger menu memorized?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it is.
I do. Or is it In-N-Out?
I'm going to go Whataburger. I'm going to go back to my instinct.
Okay.
When I'm questioning my heart, I go back to my instinct. I'm going to go Whataburger. Do you have the whole Whataburger menu memorized?
Pretty much.
Because you go so much?
Or I go so much. Literally, the last time I was home, I went almost every night, which is not healthy, but it's so good.
It's so good. And they put the ketchup in the ketchup packets mm-hmm. that are hard, so you can just open it and sit it down and dip it into it.
Oh, yeah.
And the gravy, they make white gravy.
Mm-hmm.
I lived about two blocks from Whataburger my entire 14 years in Texas.
Yeah, same. I love Whataburger.
And it was always open.
Yeah, it's always open. And that's, I mean, what I did. I would hang out late at night, and it'd be like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get Whataburger. And it's just there. It's there for you, always.
What's your schedule now? You talk about late night. Generally, what time do you wake up in the morning?
Oh, God. On an off day, I'd sleep in. I'm not a morning person.
But what's sleeping? I'm not a morning person either. I hate mornings.
Yeah.
I'm good to go about the time the show ends. I'd be so funny in the afternoon. I'm just like coming out of my slumber
I'm ready. Yeah. And then you're done.
Because I'm not a morning person either.
Yeah.
So you wake up, what's sleeping at 9, 11? Because my sleeping would be 1 p.m.
Say, yeah. Like noon.
Yeah.
Noon, 1 p.m. And every now and then, sometimes I have a hard time sleeping. And I don't go to bed until like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Because I'm just laying there. My mind is going. My body's tired, but my mind is just keeping me up. That's like every night. I'm like, God. But I sleep in all the time. But
that's not sleeping in if it's all the time.
Not all the time.
That's your normal time, but you wake up early for work.
Yes.
Did you have to go do radio tour again?
I did.
Because you were kind of out for a bit. You have to go around and...
It's like reintroduction.
How was your radio tour experience the last time? Was it different than it was 4 years ago?
It was.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I... You know, the first time was my first time. I was about 17, 18. And I had my mom with me. And I just didn't really know how to talk to people. And especially just how the whole radio thing goes. I did not know how to act, how to be. I was just like I was a teenager. So now, the second time I did it, I was like well aware. Like, you know, okay, I gotta, like, wake up and, like, walk in there with, like kind of a positive energy because at first I didn't.
It's like you're running for office is what And I've never been a part of a radio tour, nor do people come to me for radio tour because mm-hmm. I'm not a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
But my flagship, which is WSIX, is in the next room, and people come through and they'll play for the station.
Oh, okay.
So I've never been a part of a radio tour. On the pop side, I was.
Okay.
I remember once at Pop, I got a call. They're like, hey, there's this kid up front. You should go watch him sing. I was like, I was 20. I started doing mornings. I was 22, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and in that next few years, I'm like, no, there's a kid. He's from YouTube or something. You should go watch him.
Oh, God.
Whatever. So it was Justin Bieber, right?
Oh, my
so
gosh.
That happens. And then someone calls, goes, hey, I have so many of these stories. Someone goes, hey, there's this girl. She got this song. I don't know. It's about kissing another girl. You should go up there. And I'm grumpy after 10 a.m. It was Katy Perry.
Yeah.
This other girl comes in like, hey, she's this girl. I don't know. She's wearing a tie with a wife beater. She's from Canada. Her name's Lavigne or something. I was like, you know, I'm good. She's never going to make it. It's Avril Lavigne. I have about 20 of these where I was just sleepy. I was like, they're never going to make it. No,
yeah,
don't worry about it.
I'm tired.
I'm good. We're not going to do it. But so I've never... been in a radio tour, or I've never been a program director. I don't know that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just talk to artists.
Yeah.
And find out, you know, as a female when you do that.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk to 45-year-old men all the time. What's the creepy ratio? Because I would always just be aware.
It's there, for sure.
For sure it's there.
For sure.
I just would have someone with me all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do.
All the time.
Oh, especially, like, events and, like, being at a hotel. I'm terrified of hotels. I think that's a new fact.
The actual building or the people in them?
Like, just sleeping in hotels.
Okay.
Like, I never sleep, ever. I never have a good night's sleep when I'm in a hotel. And I'm always afraid that somebody will follow me to my room or get my name, like, on the front desk and act like they work for me.
Use a fake name?
Usually I have it under my, like, radio rep's name, so it's not under mine. But, like, events, usually they'll put mine under there. So I need to do a fake name.
I have a standard one that I'll do each quarter, and it changes.
Okay.
Just because,
that's a good
again,
idea.
People will look.
Oh, yeah.
And try to find where you are. Or they'll call your room. And most of the time, people aren't wanting to do bad things. They really just want to meet you.
I know.
But I'm trying to go sleep.
But you're like, I'm trying to go. Yeah.
And again, there's a personal space thing, too, where you're, you know, I'm in my room now.
Yeah.
It's almost like your house.
Yeah, it's your, like, little safe
it's
place.
It's the safe. Yeah. And so you have to get some sort of cycle of fake names.
Oh, yeah, I
just
do.
For safety.
Oh, for safety. Yeah. It, for me, because it freaks me out.
I just always... You know, just being a female artist and dudes, I would just always have somebody around. I just would.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving you advice that you don't already know.
Yeah.
I just would. And yeah, I've never even been to a radio tour, so I don't know firsthand. But also, you're tiny. And when you at festivals, I would never want to take pictures with anybody, especially men, because they have armpits right at your head. It's like your nose is going right in their armpit.
Oh, my God. That is my life.
It's like everybody wants to put their arms around you. Now, for me, I'm a taller guy.
Hot festivals. Everybody smells like beer, sweat, and sunscreen. And I'm right at armpit level. It's horrible. I stink by the time I'm on stage.
Your face smells like armpit?
Yes.
Hey, you're talking to your... Woo, your face smells
yes.
terrible.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, what the heck? I there's no out of this. I'm just short. And even in heels, I'm short.
How tall are you?
I'm like 5'2".
Can you break the 5-foot barrier then?
Maybe. I don't know.
You purposely don't?
Like last night at the show, I'm around all guys and... In the meet and greet, we did sometimes if there's a lot of artists, we do a full, like, one meet and greet. Everybody comes up and we take a picture all together. And that's what we did. And these fans, I swear to you, they just looked over my head. And I was, like, getting pushed in the back. I'm like, wait.
No one's on.
I'm over here. I was, like, pushing out of the way. I was like, I've never felt so short in my life than last night.
There's some, because Jordan's a big dude. I've taken him out.
Jordan's
he's a
tall.
Big dude.
Yeah.
Luke is a big guy. Luke Combs.
Yeah.
He's just a big barrel of a dude.
Yeah.
Who else was on there? Oh, the guys from, who'd you say the two dudes from?
Walker McGuire.
Yeah. And he's also all dudes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like fans, like other guys too. And women that were just drunk. They were just, I was like, I'm back here and no one sees me. I just got pushed back here. Oh, God, it's a struggle all the time.
What about prom?
I've never went to prom.
So you didn't go to your own because you were doing the TV show and doing a career. But what about, did you not have a boyfriend at the time that had a prom that you went to nothing?
You know, oh, man. Well, no, my boyfriend was older than me.
Same boyfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he already did his, and by the time mine came around, like, he was already out of high school. So I just was like, okay, missing out on prom.
How do you feel about that now? Do you feel like you missed something?
Not really.
You didn't?
No.
Yeah.
That's what people tell me, too. I'm like, you didn't miss anything.
So New Year's Eve, I'm going to give you New Year's Eve. Describe what New Year's Eve is to you.
Oh, God. I think of, like, resolutions, like...
Talk about the night. The night.
The night.
Yeah, because I'm going to bring it back to something, but talk about New Year's Eve night.
New Year's Eve night.
What's the feeling as you're going into New Year's Eve night?
It's exciting.
It is exciting, right? Yeah, it's like New Year's
Eve.
We're going to dress up.
Yeah.
It's going to be a party.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
The greatest night ever. And then where does it kind of end up when all said and done? That's six?
Yeah.
That's prom.
Oh, really?
That's exactly what prom is. It's going to be the greatest. I've seen all the movies about it. Holy. That was okay.
Yeah. Everybody just passed out.
Yeah, probably. It's just...
I've seen, like, videos and stuff.
Same thing about New Year's. Just, well, next time you have New Year's, just imagine it's prom.
Okay.
It's a whole bunch of hype and a bunch of money spent.
Yeah.
And then it's like, huh. That's nice. All right. Have that memory.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, I guess.
That's a good example.
Yeah. Man. No wonder. I have a bunch of your songs here. Let's see. How about this one? But I'm not alone. I've handpicked some of my favorites.
Okay.
This is Potential.
Potential.
Tell me about this one.
It was the first song we kind of figured out to, like, shape the whole album around. Because it was, like, the first big song we wrote. And... I wrote it with Emily Wiseman and Johan Lindenbrandt. He's based in L.A. And Emily's like my go-to girl here in Nashville. And when we wrote it, we were like, this is it. Like, this is the blast-off for this new album. And it's been... I mean, I played it out at a writer's round to debut it. And it... I mean, album, nothing was even out yet. And we got such a huge reaction out of it, and we were like, oh my god. And I think somebody like, I wouldn't say Rolling Stones, that's too big, but somebody posted about it on Twitter, and it was just like, god, this is a good sign. This is a good sign. So that's one of my favorites on the album too.
What about this one? Human Diary.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people posting about this one when it came out.
Yeah.
A lot of shares on this song. I think for me, the most I saw of any song was this one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you felt that way, but...
A lot of people say that they love this one. It's actually one of the songs I didn't write, because I co-wrote 7 of the 10 on the new record. And this one, it was a pretty interesting day, too, because I got with Emily Wiseman and Josh Kerr, and they had written the song just at their house one night, wanting to write a song. It's like, well, y'all are so talented. Jeez. And I was going to record Worth It that day. And it was the last thing we needed to do to finish the whole album. And I was, like, pushing it, because I was like, we're not recording Worth It today. We're recording Human Diary, because I was, like, in the emotional state of hearing that song.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to record it like this any other day. And so that's what we did. And I forced this song to be on the album, because the album was finished. I was like, is there room for this song? And they let me. I was so excited.
It's cool that you fought for a song, too, that you didn't write, that you just felt.
It was a big feeling for that song, for sure. I've never felt that way listening to a song I didn't write.
How about... And it was hello. This is a good one.
Oh yeah. This is the other one I didn't write.
This is a good one though too. I like the old four on the floor here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who wrote this one?
It was actually four men. Thomas Rhett, his dad Rhett, Jaron Johnson from Cadillac 3.
Yeah.
And,
I'm sorry, the Cadillac 3. He yells at me if I don't say the. Yeah, oh, yeah, it pisses him off.
Oh, my
sorry,
God.
The Cadillac 3. Yeah.
Cadillac 3. And then Julian Bonetta. He's a big producer out in LA.
Yeah, Julian produced the One Direction stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, One Direction. Yeah.
And so it wasn't going to make his album. And in Virginia, I was like, I think you'll like this song. Just listen to it. And it was Tom Schrett put his vocal on it. I was like, this is cool. And then we ended up cutting it. I was really happy that he gave it to me.
Yeah. Obviously, we played. This one's the jam.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the jam. You're crazy, baby, if you think that I don't know. I mean, you came in one morning and crushed this. In the morning, and crushed
it.
It
was tough. I was struggling a little bit.
Looked flawless. Like effortless.
Thank
it just
you.
Like, I was like, man, that must be nice to have that kind of talent built in. And then sway, it makes jam. You wanna sway to the this left is the jam. This would be huge.
Thank you.
You know you're going to come out and do a couple shows with me. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Austin and Wichita Falls.
I love Austin.
Yeah, I live about 3 blocks from the theater in Austin.
Oh, nice.
So that's home.
Yeah.
Me. Austin's home.
Yeah, for sure.
I was born in Arkansas, but like I grew up as a human in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Nashville. I've been lucky to live in 3 fantastic places.
Yeah.
my home, which is Mountain Pine, Arkansas, mm-hmm. Center, but Austin and Nashville are both fantastic. But mm-hmm. you're going to, that Austin crowd, it's going to be awesome.
And I honestly, I really don't think I've played a show in Austin yet. Like, this is going to be the first time, and I'm excited because I've always wanted to do stuff like in Texas and stuff. I grew up going to Austin all the time. And you're right, like, Texas, for me, like, as a human, that's my home. Nashville's great, but... Yeah,
Nashville doesn't... there's so many outer influences. It doesn't really feel like, in the creative space, that it's Nashville.
Yeah.
When you get out of the creative zone, you start to go, oh, Nashville's really cool. But when you're in this stupid bubble that we live in, it doesn't mm-hmm. feel like anything. It feels like a bunch of fake people running around.
That's why I don't feel.
That's why I don't hang out with anybody here.
Yeah, I don't hang out with anybody either.
I just...
And she knows it. I'm always hitting up my managers, and I'm like, hey, you want to hang out with me?
It's tough.
That's all I want to hang out with anyway.
Wonder who wants to hang... Why do they want to hang out with you?
Exactly.
I'm like, what do they want from me exactly?
Yeah.
Why is this person all of a sudden...
Fakeness to me, it's like a phobia. I can't be around it because I'm not having fun. And it's not genuine. If it's not genuine, then I'm like, come on. I'm not having a good time. So that's why I don't hang out with really much of anybody. And
it takes you a while to trust somebody?
Takes me a while. Yeah.
That's my problem too. And to my detriment sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there are some really good people here.
Yeah, for sure.
But we also live in a place where, I'll give you an example. I have a friendship with Dirks.
Mm-hmm.
Good dude, not fake.
He's, yeah.
But again, he's gone so much when I'm gone that we can't really forge that next level stuff
mm-hmm.
because we're never in the same place.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult.
Yeah.
And anybody that I've dated has always been in the industry. Mm-hmm. I say anybody. I dated three people and in like the last 10 years.
I've always dated.
Yeah. So it's been tough.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I completely, I don't have a whole lot of friends.
I don't really, that's not a bad thing to me. Like, I almost like just having my own little routine. I love Target. I love going to Target.
Sleep until 1 o'clock.
Starbucks.
Yeah. Amazing.
And going and bugging the crap out of my managers. And one of them's in the room right now, but she has like a hot tub. And when it was like really freezing one of the other nights, we like had a hot tub night, and I like that's fun to me.
Yeah,
like I love just hanging out, and if a football game's on, if whatever, I love that. Like wine nights, not my thing. So I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably why I think you're cool. I never get that. Hey, let's read your song. Yeah. And that could be interpreted 1,000 ways, and it's fair to interpret that 1,000 ways. But
yeah.
Hey, let's get together. Let me get your tech. And I think they're probably at a point a good person,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to have to dig through
yeah.
8 people to find one. And some lazy too, and I wake up 3 a.m. I'm telling you, man. I'm in bed. I try to go to bed by 8 so I can wake up at 3.
Yeah.
And who has time for a personal life when you do that?
Yeah, true. That's hard.
So, well, I'm glad you came by.
I'm glad I did, too. Awesome house. I got to meet your dog.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of your dog.
Listen, I should apologize because I saw you pulling dog hair off of you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No,
no,
my
no,
dog
no.
Hair.
No, my dog.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
Because I started to go, oh.
No, I have an all-white dog, and he sheds like crazy.
That's my dog, too.
So it's nothing.
Okay,
because
I felt
dogs,
a little
so
bad because you were like taking off your knee, you're taking dog. I was like, oh no, Dusty got her.
Look, this is my dog's hair right here. That's so embarrassing.
I have no problem with dog hair because I live in it. My dog sleeps in my bed.
Yeah, so I sometimes. Sometimes because they're too big. Like it's just the right size.
Did you? Most people see my dog and they think, oh, he looks different. Meaning size wise, did you think he? What did you think?
He was smaller than I expected.
Yeah, most people think he's
what breed?
So he's a Staffordshire Bull,
whoa.
Which is, and he's pure. What happened was there was a raid in Austin, and they busted up a puppy mill because they were puppy milling. You know, they're having all these dogs hump each other, and they were having all the dogs, and they were selling them, and they were like, can't do this anymore. So they were, the shelter was, hey, we have these dogs, and I went and I got the runt. of all of them.
Yeah.
And he was way too young, but he didn't have a mom. And so I took him, mm-hmm. and I have a picture of him somewhere in this house, and I'm holding him in one hand.
Oh,
that's how
God.
Small he was. So that dog is usually, he's 34 pounds. Mm-hmm. That those dogs get up to like 60 pounds normally. He's half
wow.
that size.
That's so cool, though. I love that.
What about your dog?
So one of them is a pointer mix. And
smart?
Too smart.
Yeah, I mean, those are very intelligent dogs.
But he's so hyper. He has that pointer tail, and he's always sniffing. And once that front door opens a little bit, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants to roam. But my other dog is a German Shepherd mix, and he's like this big, cuddly teddy bear, and he's so sweet. But I got him at the Humane Society, and so they're a mix, and I want to know one day, like, what
exactly... Do you
exactly...
know they have, like a 23andMe for dogs? They actually have a DNA kit now
really?
For dogs. I can... Yes. It blew my mind.
I want these.
No, they have it, and you take your dog's saliva... And this is not an advertisement. I don't know what the name of it is.
My friend
just did it, and I'll make sure you get
See,
what it is.
See, I want to do that because I don't know exactly what.
She didn't know what her. And now I did it for me as a human with 23andMe because I don't really know what I am.
Yeah.
I don't, like, you know, I never knew my dad. My mom died early, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I tested myself, and to my surprise, I'm very white.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm very white.
This just in, prepare to be shocked. I'm super Caucasian.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'll get you the name of what that is.
Yes.
Because it's a real thing with dogs. You can now go find exactly what breed they are.
Yeah, because one of the German Shepherd, I say German Shepherd because he has those, like, low back legs, and he's a big dog, but he has that brindle look. And they, at the shelter, it said he was a mountain cur. I was like, what the heck is that? And I looked it up, and they, like, hunt big animals. And I'm like, but he's too nice. He's something else. So,
But your pointer, they're genetically hunting, spotting dogs.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's funny, because it's probably never actually had to go out and point, yet it still does.
It's still...
Because of its genes.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
so...
We had a bunch of dogs we had growing up to hunt with. In my hunting days,
yeah,
those days don't exist anymore. But when you go up in Arkansas, that's how you bonded with everyone.
Yeah,
I had a gun at 10. I mean, I have one gun now, and it's just when someone tries to break in my house.
I have a big gun. I have a big boy gun.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I have a big boy gun too.
Yeah,
but I don't use it to go shoot animals anymore. I use it to shoot humans. It give me crap. But yeah, we had beagles and we had pointers. But it was amazing when they were puppies; they automatically had the instinct to do what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Amazing. And they're like posture. They're all like in the zone. I'm like, that is so cool.
We would take a dog out and to quail hunt, and he'd point because he'd see a bird or see that covey of quail. Right on. Tail, nose, and he wouldn't move. And
God,
that's when you would
so
know,
cool.
That's where you would know they were. And so everybody was like, okay, here we go. And then went in, they flew up. I don't do that anymore.
You seem like a pro at it, though.
No, but that's what I did for a lot of my life.
Which
because,
is fun.
Yeah, sure. Well, listen, I'm not a big outside
like
guy.
That.
Give me some Wi-Fi and, you know, microwave. I'm good.
Microwave.
Yeah. I mean, give me Netflix and Wi-Fi and a microwave.
Yeah.
I'm set for 8 months.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'm good. But yeah, when you're in Arkansas and you're 10 to... 17, 8, that's when I finally moved away. That's how you bonded with everybody, or you just didn't.
Yeah.
So you went out and you shot things.
I have, surprisingly, dad's side of the family, Little Rock, Arkansas.
No, I grew up in Little Rock a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's country.
That's what we do.
Yeah, I can see that though.
Did. But my stepdad, who my mom married later on, he calls into my show a bit, and every morning he's hunting, we call him.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I'm glad you came.
Thank you.
Let me encourage everyone listening, because I know a lot of you will be listening to this, that Danielle's album's called I Don't Believe We've Met.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say I Believe We Haven't Met, but it's
We Haven't Met.
I Don't Believe We've Met. And depending on when you hear this, but...
That makes you want to sway.
Sway is going
to
be a big old hit. Worth it. And then, I would like to play this, just from the beginning, because I do enjoy this. This song here that will not be a big old hit, but hold on. Wait. I don't need your help, Mike. I can fix it. Hold on. Mike's going to run over here and tell me. Let me work my way through this. Okay. Hold on. Okay, got this. This computer. Got it. Thank you. Here we go. Three.
Oh my god.
Yeah, for sure. This
is... It ran its course, come on.
No! Let's recourse this.
Okay.
This is all you needed was like, Luda! Little Luda!
Oh, I need a rapper on this now.
Here she is, don't fail, and her name is Danielle, but... I mean, that's what you need.
I mean, you can be...
Those days were... I signed a hip-hop deal, one song.
Really?
Yeah, my alter ego was Captain Caucasian.
Oh, and my God.
I did that part, a feature... Do you remember the gymnast Carly Patterson? She was a gold medal gymnast.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
She tried a pop career, and she came in, and I was doing some deal while I was playing guitar, and I was just like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the guy was like, hey, can you write something for Carly? I just wrote this little deal. I was like, you can get somebody to rap it. And he's like, hey, can you do it? And it's still on YouTube somewhere where I'm in the studio going, you know, and they put it on, and it was, you know, like seven stations played it in a rotation.
God.
But yeah, it was Carly Patterson featuring Captain Caucasian.
That is so...
Bring it back on Friend Zone. Yeah, come on. Spend a little money, sure she's more than free, 99. No, whatever. Don't let them hate on you.
Oh, well,
let me know if anybody gives you any problems.
Hey, I will.
All right. Danielle Bradbury, episode 99. Thanks for hanging out. I believe our next episode or the one after this will be Christian Bush from Sugarland, right? So come back then. You can tweet Danielle at D Bradbury.
Yeah, you got it right.
And you can, you know, do all the stuff. Okay, that's it. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye.